I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt, and this is a Studio 2 Extra. The Italian market has been around for over 100 years, and that's not a coincidence. It's vibrant, it's old school, there's tons to buy and eat. And it's all thanks to generations of immigrants who've operated in the South Philadelphia space over the last century. They've kept it alive, even through turnover and modern grocery stores entering the neighborhood. Today, the Our Market Project hopes to document all of the history and preserve the architecture, style, and spirit of the market through tours, story circles, and an impressive digital archive. Michelle Angela Ortiz is the artist who directs the Our Market Project, a love letter to the place where she was raised. She joined me to talk about her life in the market and the many changes it's gone through over the years.
Well, when I was a child, Acme and ShopRite were the supermarkets that in the mid-80s started coming into the neighborhood. Yeah. But prior to that,
that was the supermarket.
The market was the supermarket, but also it was our Walmart and our Target and all of these other
school supplies.
Yeah. So if you needed shoes or if you needed like beautiful curtains, a tablecloth, everything was there.
Wow.
But I feel that in time, it's been like a lot of focus on food, right? Which we're very rich in. I think that that's something that's really beautiful. And one of the treasures that I see in growing up and living in my neighborhood, I'm also a daughter of an exceptional cook. So I know what good food is.
Yeah, totally.
I feel very blessed to be in the neighborhood and grow up, but then also just see through the change, the importance, right, of having this outdoor market that has preserved and sustained itself through time.
Yeah. Why do you think the market has been able to stay going when lots of other outdoor markets that were historically in Philly have faded away?
I think it has a lot to do with the families. You know, historically, as we know, the families that have invested the most time and energy and resources have been the Italian immigrant families that still remain, that are still there in the market, that are still pushing and advocating for the market. But then I also remember a time where on the south end of Washington, where a lot of those stores were vacants, especially in the 90s, the produce stands were no longer there. They're now replaced with parked cars. And so there was a huge risk of losing that South End because of the lack of, you know, investment, one, and to a lot of families, generations of families that decided, well, we don't have enough resources to continue, or their children or grandchildren do not want to continue the business. Sustaining that the south end of the market, let's just say, because it's all still one market, but south of Washington, had a lot to do with the influx of Mexican immigrant families that were able to see this as a beautiful opportunity to progress, just the same as my parents did, who are neither Mexican or Italian.
Yeah.
But many immigrant families, even the Southeast Asian families in the 70s, that also came.
They sort of backfilled as some of the Italian families moved out.
Exactly. And so if we look at the span of the history of the market, even before the arrival of Italian immigrants, because there were already Irish and Jewish immigrants and African-American laborers, what we see is that there is a lack of resources invested in the market. But I also see the market as incredibly abundant in the sense of trying to find ways to thrive still in a space where the resources aren't fully being poured into the space.
What resources does the market need that it doesn't get?
One of the things that we have been working on specifically through the Our Market Project is the revitalization of spaces. You know, people think about the market and it's like, oh, when Rocky ran down, and you still see the stands. That's part of the aesthetic of the market. So if we lose these stands, we're not only just losing an immigrant tradition that has remained and preserved itself in our city, we're losing part of that history and that space and the culture of the market. And so we started targeting three produce stands that were in the worst condition. Our stands are welded, metal, custom-made, power-coated.
Built for the elements.
Built for the elements, but also is a representation of history and cultural pride. And it all starts with a conversation with the community members, from the colors to the patterns selected to even the phrases that are represented. It is about honoring their journey and honoring their connection to the market. We are preserving this history that's not just specific to our neighborhood, but really about Philadelphia and American history.
Like you said, part of what makes it unique, and I think what draws people down there, still is the outdoor produce stands. Even if they don't themselves shop there, they love the environment that creates. And I think it, like you said, it speaks to something that's been lost. Yes. In a lot of other places.
Well, it's about connection, right? You know, this is where I see the abundance has always been a place where I could be like, oh, I can get a cheaper cut of meat here, or I can get my fruit here, or I could feed my family at a lower budget versus going to a bigger supermarket, right? I think another part of being in the market, which people are kind of reconnecting to small businesses and supporting small businesses, is that relationship. There are families that I know that are customers that go to the same butcher that their grandmother would go to, right? So there's a sense of like trust.
It's a very different experience than going to a big box store.
Exactly.
And going up to the deli counter there or something like that.
And that's where stories come into play, right? Stories serve a purpose, and its power, first, to speak about history, right? Internally within the community, a lot of the vendors or neighbors or folks that have arrived to the market understand the market at their point of arrival. Or they identify themselves as, okay, well, I'm here in the market, but this market belongs to the folks that have been here longer.
Right.
And so when I speak about the storytelling, it is about a larger perspective of the narrative of the market that really connects to waves of immigrant families that have come in, but also the common thread.
You mentioned stories. Part of this project is collecting stories from the people connected to the market, who work in the market, who shop at the market, whose businesses are in the market. Is there a story that you've heard so far that just blew you away?
There was a neighbor, her name's Lisa Calvano. She reached out to me and said, oh, I have this film, 1937 film, digitized. It was 8mm film digitized of the market from her uncle. It was one of the most precious treasures that we have within the project because the architecture was basically the same. The stands were set up. The market was definitely a lot more populated during that time. Cars just looked different, right? But other than that,
wow,
it looked just like our market now. It was so beautiful to come into contact with this. But also when we did our story circles, there were 11 story circles that I facilitated. We had folks that are solely Vietnamese speakers, Spanish speakers. We had representatives of the Jewish community, of the Italian immigrant community as well. And I started the story circle by presenting this film. It was just so beautiful to see people's reactions. Some were like, oh, yeah, I remember when the market mm-hmm. used to be like this. Mm-hmm. And for the Mexican immigrant families and within the Latino story circle, which my mother was also present at these conversations, they communicated how they felt that they were a part of something bigger than themselves.
That's what history does.
And this sense of pride, yeah, right, to see this. And I just love that because it wasn't necessarily a story that was being told. It was just the power of film and the moving image and how that conveyed a sense of belonging.
Yeah, you could tell someone this market's been around for 100 plus years, but when they see it,
exactly,
it's a totally different emotional response.
Yeah, and I know from my own personal experience how it feels to feel deeply rooted in a place and also othered. The market is a place where, yes, it's very diverse. That doesn't necessarily mean that everyone gets along or everyone understands one another. And I feel that because there is a lack of understanding of each one of our journeys and struggles, it's very easy to fall into these assumptions of one another or looking at each other as competitors versus collectively being together in this space.
Yeah, part of a common story.
Yeah. And so what's been really beautiful about these connections and sharing the stories in different ways through the story circles, even through the public artworks and through our tours, which we've been giving. This is now our second year and we've been doing our community-led tours. It offers a perspective to speak to those common struggles. When we look at the reasons why a Venezuelan immigrant like Julio Rivas left Venezuela to come to Philadelphia due to the political climate, due to lack of resources, we can literally trace back to a third generation ancestor of an Italian immigrant family. And we're seeing those same conditions and systems being reflected in the reason for their immigration. And so we fast forward to our current climate, like the fear of being undocumented in this space and the real concerns of that.
What's the mood and the climate right now in the market? You mentioned that word fear. Is there a lot of fear right now?
I think there is concern and awareness, if anything. The way that we've contributed in trying to support undocumented community members in our community has been sharing information that already exists from the organizers that are already doing the work. There is this movement of just being informed and prepared. And then there's also been conversations just naturally within workers and other business owners of just being aware and finding ways in which they can remain safe, because fear is paralyzing. And so it's knowing what you can do in the situation or to prevent a situation from happening. That is what's happening. I mean, it's natural to feel fearful. I mean, there was presence of ICE, as it was reported in the news. For the business owners that we know, the workers that we know that are requesting information, we're able to provide that more information for them or direct them to where they can go to a session and get more help.
We're a little short on time, but I wanted to ask you, what's the relationship like between the older vendors and the newer vendors?
So there are vendors or business owners. For example, I'm thinking of Pip DeLuca. He runs a family business, which is the Villa de Roma restaurant. Pip, like myself, grew up in the neighborhood, still lives literally a block away or a few blocks away from the restaurant. He's now in his 70s, and we've actually have had gatherings in his restaurant. He's spoken about passing through the south end of the market, where there's mostly like Mexican, Central American, and South American vendors. And he's like, you know, I just kind of like peer through the window. I don't bother to like walk in or talk. And so in our last session, he was like, you know, I feel encouraged and inspired to actually like walk in. And in that session, I was able to introduce him to some of the other vendors. And that's the part that people don't see. You know, we've done all this work, so people just see that work. What I'm able to witness as an artist working in my own community and as a visual storyteller are these beautiful connections and breakthroughs that happen just within the dynamic and the relationships of community members. Yeah. And that was one moment.
Before I let you go, and I have a feeling you're going to say, I can't pick one.
Oh.
but can you give me a spot in the market that gets overlooked by outsiders, but that's a great place to go to?
Oh, so there's Chocolate Arts and Crafts. It's a beautiful store to walk into. There you will find all of these handcrafted artworks by different artisans in Mexico. Eva Hernandez, who's the owner, goes to Mexico, comes back and brings these beautiful pieces. And it's also a space where, especially after the Eagles win, you can actually get a Lucha Libre mask with the Eagles logo on it. And now that, you know, we're in baseball season, you can do a Phillies one too.
That's great.
And I love this space because it's such a beautiful blend of these different cultures.
Yeah.
It feels like walking into Mexico in the market. So
with a little Philly flavor.
With a little Philly flavor, of course.
That was Michelle Angela Ortiz, lead artist and director of the Our Market Project. And thanks so much for listening to this Studio 2 Extra. Tune into the show live Monday through Thursday at noon on 90.9 FM and on WHYY's YouTube channel. Don't miss the Encore rebroadcast at 10 p.m. Our program is produced by Paige Marie Bessler, Debbie Builder, and Andreas Copes. Diana Martinez and Al Banks engineered this episode. Kevin McCory is our executive producer. From Studio 2 at WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt, and thanks for joining me.